Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Just like the countdown commercial light. Really gotta get up out of here and go somewhere. Gotta make that move. Find somebody who appreciates all the love I give. Boy, I gotta.
If you're a maitre d', a word of advice. If this singer, Mariah Carey, walks in, don't seat her next to her rival, Jennifer Lopez. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later on the show, the Austin-based indie rock group Ockerville River performs live in our studio. But first, music rivalries. They're an enduring part of pop music. Long before 50 Cent taunted Kanye West, the British rock bands Oasis and Blur ripped one another in the press. And before that, Lynyrd Skynyrd chided Neil Young. And before that, fans drew a line in the sand between the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. Now, look, some of this was just publicity stuff, but some were acts of genuine hatred. And here to sort through which is which is Bill Crandall, editor of AOL's Spinner.com. Bill, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Oh, thanks for having me back, John.
So you have put together a list of the 20 worst band feuds. There is a link on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Why this enduring fascination with who dislikes whom?
Well, there's an opportunity with the 50 Cent versus Kanye sales feud that's been going on recently and mostly a media creation. But rock and roll has always just been a genre of bravado from Ike Turner to Chuck Berry to Jerry Lee Lewis and really continuing right on into hip hop with Eminem and Snoop and everybody. So saying how great you are tends to make other people mad. And this is just the countdown of the people who kind of said it the loudest and also slagged other people.
And because it is, all about bravado and machismo and stuff, the list tends to be skewed male.
Mm-hmm.
Not exclusively, but as we see when we head through it, lots of dudes having fun at the expense of other dudes is what we're talking about.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. I mean, there are certainly some catfights, which we'll get to, yeah.
All right, but you mentioned 50 Cent, Kanye West, not on your list of the 20, worst musical feuds, mainly because, as you also said, it's a media creation.
Absolutely, yeah. There was more juice to the 50 Cent and the Game, where they were actually, there was some real hatred in there, and they managed to make up and embrace without ever making eye contact publicly. So I think that was kind of the best feud moments. But yes, it was mostly a media creation, and when you think about it, nobody's really selling a lot of records. So if you can pit these two people against each other, and one can sell 900,000, another can sell 600,000, everybody wins.
Okay. It was Kanye who sold the 900 and 50 who sold the 600. So, Kanye, the big winner there, I suppose. Oasis versus Blur, two Britpop bands of the 90s. This feud comes in at number 10 on your list of the worst band feuds. I'm surprised. I actually thought this could go a good deal higher simply because it was played out in full view of the public. Give us the story here.
Yeah, this was kind of like, we tried to bait the Beatles and the Stones into disliking each other, as you said, the fan bases, but they didn't. They sang together on All We Need Is Love. But, Oasis and Blur, man, these two hated each other to the tune of Noel Gallagher of Oasis saying that, "I hope they catch AIDS and die." About as bad as something you can say about somebody. The Gallaghers also called Damon Albarn, who is the Blur frontman, his side project Gorillaz, he called them 3-year-olds music. And the best that Blur could come back with was slagging Oasis for being in a bunch of fashion magazines. So they were a lot more austere. They didn't really want to get as money as the Oasis Gallagher brothers did.
All right. Here are the bands in question. Oasis first, and a song called Roll With It. Roll With It, a single from the band Oasis from 1995. Their feud with the band Blur may have been provoked, at least in part, by the fact that on the same day that this song came out, Blur released their own single, this tune called Country House.
No cynic, but my heart's not in it. I'm paying the price of living life at the limit. God, I'm in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, if Freddy's on hell, it's empty bed, trying to sit wrong. Lives in a house, very big house in the country. Watching afternoon repeats and the food he eats in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up analyst bills in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm. That's a rural charm in the country. He's got money.
The band Blur and their song Country House released the same date, August 14th of 1995, as the Oasis song that we also heard. Bill Crandall, editor of AOL's Spinner.com, is talking about Spinner's list of the 20 worst band feuds, and the Oasis Blur feud is at number 10. You said that these bands genuinely disliked each other. So the fact that they were releasing singles on the same day, You don't think this was kind of a calculated ploy on either band's part?
Oh, that's been going on for years. Yeah, lots of bands do that. The Stones, Let It Bleed, with the Beatles, Let It Be. And we've had that with the Chili Peppers and Mr. Bungle, who genuinely hated each other with California and Californication, two albums. So bands will do that a lot, you know, have it as a sound-off.
So they disliked each other before August 14th of 1995.
Oh, yeah. They're going back and forth in the tabloids all the time. And Oasis just, you know, destroyed them all the time in the tabloids.
All right. Well, now, so Oasis, who won this battle?
Absolutely knockout Oasis. And through this, that Liam and Noel Gallagher have just been enduring tabloid characters. Even as their record sales go down, we're still interested in what comes out of their mouth, kind of like Courtney Love over on this side of the pond.
All right. At number 20 on the list of the 20 worst band feuds, Lynyrd Skynyrd and Neil Young.
Mm-hmm.
Again, famous simply because Lynyrd Skynyrd called Neil Young out in the middle of one of their biggest hits, Sweet Home Alabama, after Neil Young had talked about the South in his song Southern Man. How did this play out? And, you know, how did it, what was the real, what, was there animosity between the two?
This is the flip side. These are two bands that genuinely did like each other. And Sweet Home Alabama was certainly a response to Southern Man as well as Alabama, which were two songs by Neil Young, a Canadian who moved to California, who criticized the South. You know, so this was Skynyrd basically with a wink and a smile kind of fighting back. But there was no hard feelings because Skynyrd, Ronnie Van Zant, put on a Neil Young shirt and wore it on the cover of their final album, Street Survivors.
Well, let's hear both. First, the song that started all the fuss, a little bit of Neil Young's Southern Man. Neil Young's picture of the South was not very flattering, and the Southern rock band Lynyrd Skynyrd took exception in their home song, Sweet Home Alabama. Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama. Bill Crandall, at least they had the good taste to refer to him as Mr. Young when they first started calling him out in this verse. So on your list of AOL Spinner's 20 worst band feuds, this is number 20. Is there a winner or is there a loser here?
They're both winners this time around. I would say the winner here is Skynyrd for having such a great sense of humor about this whole thing. And there's actually a fascinating rumor that Ronnie Van Zant is buried in a Neil Young t-shirt. So that's as much as the love ran deep between these two. So a lot of it was really rallying up the fan base, but also kind of giving Neil a wink at the same time. So they kind of really did it with class.
All right. Ronnie Van Zant, of course, one of the members of the band who perished in that fiery plane crash. And,
correct.
And that is one of those bits of rock lore that you would think, who would even bother to start a rumor like that? But it's persisted over the years that he's buried in the Neil Young t-shirt.
Yep.
Let's do a little catfight here. Christine Aguilera and Britney Spears, number 7 on the list of the 20 worst band feuds. What happened to set these two off?
Well, they were pitted against each other from the very beginning. They were both ex-Mouseketeers, and then they were up for Best New Artist, and Britney had outsold Christina. Everybody thought that Britney was a shoo-in for this, and lo and behold, Christina won in a surprise. So ever since that, there was always kind of a Beatles and Stones things going on between those two. But then when Britney got married, Christina called it cheap, and at the time, it looked like that Christina was the trashy one, and who knew? She seems clairvoyant in the way she was going.
There was a boy involved too, right? I mean, weren't they both kind of
absolutely? There you go. Britney dated Justin Timberlake, of course, and then Christina made a play for Justin Timberlake, which set off Britney. So yes, men involved, as well as chart positions, and also a criticism from Christina of Britney's pregnancy when she said she let herself go.
Yikes. All right. Christina Aguilera, here's her song called Ain't No Other Man. We're speaking with Bill Crandall, the editor of AOL's Spinner.com. Other Man, Christina Aguilera, she and Britney Spears with a much publicized falling out over various things, but including the attentions and affections of Justin Timberlake. Bill, we have a winner or a loser or multiple losers here?
This would definitely be winner, clearly, Christina Aguilera, who's become more respected, singing with Tony Bennett, all kinds of stuff. And Britney, I'm not sure really what's happened to her lately. Well, has she been in the news?
It seems to me the big winner here is Justin for ending up with neither of them.
There you go.
All right, so what we're going to do is, when we come back, we can sort of head towards the top of the charts, the 20 worst band feuds. We have not gotten anywhere near number one yet, so we'll do that in a moment. But we also want to hear from our Soundcheck listeners. What is your favorite music rivalry? And are feuds like this good or bad for the music? You can call us at 212-264-7483 or leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. That number again, 212-264-7483. And the complete link to the 20 worst band feuds is on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. Coming up in a little while, we'll find out if the Austin-based group Ockerville River has earned themselves an arch enemy 4 albums into their career. They'll play live in our studio. And when we return, more with Bill Crandall and Spinner's list of the 20 worst band feuds on Soundcheck.
In this red line, where the love that you loved in the sweet scissors, no prying. When
The breath that you breathe in the street screams there's no science. When you look how you look then to me, then I cease lying and fall into silence.
That was your first mistake. You took your lucky break and broke it.
We're talking about music feuds on Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and even the Beatles weren't above a special kind of musical feud, the rivalry between former band members. John Lennon thought that a few songs on Paul McCartney's 1971 solo album Ram were directed at him, including this song, Too Many People. And the album's back cover had a picture of one Beatle, the bug, riding another. We continue our conversation about music feuds with Bill Crandall, editor of AOL's music site, Spinner.com, which has posted the 20 worst band feuds of all time. And what do you make, Bill, of John Lennon versus Paul McCartney? Do you think this song and some of the other bits of McCartney's Ram really were directed at Lennon?
Sure. I mean, they were all feeling their oats at that time and being liberated, and they were basically playing out, like, what I would have done differently, and these were my songs and my vibe, and they got to do that on their solo album, so John showed the Johnness and Paul showed the Paulness. So absolutely, and then later on, of course, the silly love songs, when John had made a comment about, you know, Paul's songs being silly, and then Paul responds with writing silly love songs. What's wrong with that? But the most mean-spirited one, of course, is How Do You Sleep? John Lennon directed at Paul McCartney, and the real the awful line of everything you done was yesterday.
Wow. Yeah, so this really was John at his most bitter.
Absolutely.
I mean, even for John fans, this was maybe a little bridge too far, do you think?
It's uncomfortable listening back to that one, and that one doesn't wear as well, yeah.
Well, let's do just that. Let's listen to a little bit of it from John Lennon. John Lennon's musical swipe at his former partner Paul McCartney, How Do You Sleep? From the album Imagine. We're speaking with Bill Crandall from AOL's Spinner.com and with some of our Soundcheck listeners on the line at 212-264-7483, 264-7483. We're also getting comments on the Soundcheck page of our website at WNYC.org. And Bill, here's an interesting comment from Ron on the Upper East Side. What about the rivalry between the Beatles and the Beach Boys? Now, the Beatles-Stones thing was a non-starter because, as you said before, the bands really liked each other, and that was kind of a fan base thing. What about the Beatles and the Beach Boys? It was definitely, you know, some transatlantic looking over the shoulders at what the other guy was doing.
Yeah, they were pitted against each other because of sales, and they also went back and forth at each other, but really in a good-spirited, competitive way, because when Pet Sounds came out, Paul McCartney was inspired to write Sgt. Pepper's. So they went back and forth. And then, of course, the real funny moment is the Beatles back in the USSR on the White Album, where the backing vocals are very Beach Boy-like. Yeah. Mike Love of the Beach Boys even suggested that they do that. And instead of going around all the East Coast girls and everything, they're going around girls from Georgia, USSR, that kind of thing. So.
Right. All right, let's take a call. Let's begin with Reggie joining us from Brooklyn. Hey, Reggie.
Hi. From the 70s, there was a big rivalry between the fusion bands, the Mahavishnu Orchestra, and Larry Coryell's The 11th House. John McLaughlin versus Larry Coryell. Billy Cobham, the drummer, versus Alphonse Mouzon.
So the two guitarists going at each other. What when you say there was a rivalry, was it just that they were two really flashy guitarists leading fusion bands? Or, I mean, were they actually saying things about each other?
Well, the drummers, Billy Cobham and Alphonse Mouzon, they would book their bands opposite each other. And, yeah, they weren't exactly similar styles, but it was this very technical,
right,
power fusion style. And, you know, Cobham was, Cobham was wanted.
Okay.
But the thing was there was always a rivalry, and a rivalry between a similar fan base. But, you know, we'd have fights over who was better.
So they actually, you know, as you say, they would actually kind of book their bands to sort of siphon off the fan base from the other group. That's, you know, that's getting pretty close to cannibalism, which is always a danger, mm-hmm, when there is a kind of a smaller fan base. Bill, your list really skews more towards the pop world, where there's enough fans to go around. And
yep. Mercifully, the tabloids stayed away from the jazz fusion feuds.
Now, you know, a lot of this does seem to be in good fun, but violence has on occasion broken out.
Mm-hmm.
Number three on Spinner's list of the 20 worst music feuds, James Brown and Joe Tex.
Yeah, this is a serious one. I mean, James Brown essentially stole Joe Tex's wife, and she became a singer in the James Brown Review, and Joe Tex would go on to record a song, which is You Keep Her. But at one night, Joe Tex in Macon, Georgia, you know, James Brown's hometown, gets on stage and puts this ratty garb on and starts singing, "Please, please, please get me out of my cape," mocking James Brown. And James Brown goes to a club afterwards and, according to all witnesses, starts shooting up the place and with bullets intended at Joe Tex. So that's about as bitter as it gets.
Did anybody actually get hurt?
Apparently, there were some $100 bills sprayed around the club to people who did get hit by bullets to get,
wow,
them not to press charges.
All right. What we'll hear, ironically enough, though, is James Brown covering a Joe Tex song.
Sure.
Baby, You're Right.
If you think I want to hurt you, well, baby, you're right. I want to love you. I want to hurt you, 'cause I need it so bad. When I can't get you, it makes me so mad. If you think I want you.
That's James Brown. Baby, You're Right was a number two hit for him, but it was written by his arch enemy, Joe Tex. And that rivalry at number three on Spinner's list of the 20 worst band feuds. We're speaking with Bill Crandall, the editor of AOL's Spinner.com. All right, let's just go straight for the top, the number one feud. Who is it and why?
These are the guys who really invented the rock and roll feud, and it's Jerry Lee Lewis versus Chuck Berry.
Very close to the guys who invented rock and roll, period.
Exactly. By all accounts, not the nicest guys in the world. And back in the day, now when bands tour together, there's a sense that these two bands like each other. There's an advocacy. Whereas back in the 50s, no, they would just put together these package tours, and Alan Freed put one together, throw a bunch of guys who hate each other on stage and make them compete. Jerry Lee Lewis was put in the position of opening up for Chuck Berry. He didn't want to. So basically what he did is he just put the most rollicking set on in the world, lights the piano on fire, plays Great Balls of Fire, smoke alarms are going off, people are running for the exits, and then he turns to Chuck Berry and says, "You're on, Chuck."
Now, these guys genuinely disliked each other?
Oh, very much so, yeah. And I think pretty much by all accounts, everybody else genuinely disliked both of them, too.
Great Balls of Fire, a big hit for Jerry Lee Lewis. Must have been exciting to see this being played with actual fire shooting out of the piano.
I've changed my mind. This love is mine. Great Balls of Fire. Kiss the baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a should. You're fine. So kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. I choose my nails and then I twitch all my thumb. I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby. It drives me crazy. It's just great balls of fire.
The number one worst music feud in rock and roll history, according to Spinner.com, Jerry Lee Lewis against Chuck Berry. All right, so it's time to make love, not war. You guys, Bill, you and the rest of the Spinner gang have been toiling away at these musical feuds, and you have uncovered something from the opposite end of the emotional spectrum, and we're about to get a chance to hear something really quite remarkable. Tell us about this.
We have a story of love, and this is that obviously June Carter Cash and Johnny Cash's love affair was played up so much in Walk the Line. There's a new book called I Walk the Line by Vivian Cash's first wife, and we have an excerpt of that online, and we also got a hold of a rare recording, which is Johnny Cash stationed over in Germany where he met Vivian, and now he is basically singing a song to her, which is essentially, please don't cheat on me with somebody else. I'm going to be home soon. And this is between 51 and 54. They'd end up getting married in 54.
And in fact, the song that he sings here was written by June Carter's then husband.
Correct. Yes. Carl Smith popularized it. Exactly.
Wow. Here's Johnny Cash and a previously unheard 78 RPM recording made while he was a GI stationed in Germany.
Am I the one who'll always hold you till the end of time? Or will there be another lover to steal a love that's mine? Am I the one you'll always want, dear, when each day is through? Or will I face each night alone?
Previously unheard 78 RPM disc made in Germany by a young Johnny Cash to his soon-to-be wife, Vivian Liberto, in 1954 or thereabouts. And Bill Crandall from Spinner.com, the cynic in me, says that this is just another music feud. Spinner versus iTunes and Yahoo and all the other music sites that you guys got this thing and have posted it. Yes? No?
We're all about love. No, it has nothing to do with feuds. We love them all.
All right. Bill Crandall is the editor of AOL's Spinner.com. We've been talking about some of the 20 worst band feuds. And, Bill, a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tune in tomorrow to Soundcheck for a look inside concerts being held in the virtual world called Second Life. And in just a moment, the Austin band Ockerville River is earning kudos for their latest album, The Stage Names. We'll talk to the group and hear a live in-studio performance. This is Soundcheck.